Wow. Have you found a new life? How was your old life like? How was your old life like? Too bad, too bad, too bad, too bad. How many are stuck on Jesus now? You used to be stuck on that boy. And you saw that it wasn't worth being stuck on that guy. How many are stuck on Jesus? What a blessing. All right. We continue on our subject of the art of ministry. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. It said, I saw and I returned. All right. Amen. And I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, and bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding. Nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So in the work of God, you need, if you're going to win the race, speed. Don't let there be any delay in any of the things God is saying for you to do. You know, years ago, I went to a town called Tamale in the north of Ghana for a program. And on my way, I had four pastors with me, including my sister. And as we were driving, I drove from 7 a.m. in the morning. It was about 6 p.m. We were getting near the city. And the road was clear, beautiful, good road. There was no car coming, no car going, because we were getting to a more lonely part of the country. And I told the people, in 30 minutes, we'll be arriving. I felt I was a pilot, though I was announcing, and in 30 minutes, we'll be arriving. 5 minutes later, we were somersaulting. Yes, 5 minutes later. We were somersaulting, the car was turning upside down. And if this is the road, we somersaulted to the side. What happened was a car, there was a bicycle that decided to come in to see who was coming from behind like that. And so he came into the road. And to avoid just driving over him, I just turned a little, braked, and the car went out of control. Yeah, you wouldn't know. I used to pride myself in, when I was driving, I would say that, you know, no one ever overtakes me. Nobody can overtake me, like on a journey of 200 kilometers. I overtake you, but you will not overtake me. I said, only two cars are able to overtake me, a Golf, or a BMW. You know, those cars have fast acceleration. They are dangerous cars for driving if you don't want to drive fast. Suddenly, we were turning. And I was holding the steering wheel as the car was going up. Like that. And we landed in the bush. Far, like outside this hall. This is the main. We were out there. And the car turned around. I was no more in control. Brake doesn't work. Steering wheel doesn't work. It was now free. It turned 180 degrees back to where we were coming from. And went off the road in facing where we were coming from. There's nothing like brakes. And we went somersault. And we came to a halt upside down outside. I thought everybody was dead. Then I heard my sister crying. And I heard another voice, and I said, I'm also here. We came out of the car through the sunroof. The car started to burn. Yeah. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I was saying to myself that I am a pastor going to do preaching. And why is God trying to kill me as I'm going to do his work? But you see, that was a turning point in my life. Yeah. I preached the fair. We went there, all the cars that passed by, they didn't see us. Any car that came, they didn't go. We were so far off, upside down. So they passed by. Shoom, shoom, shoom. We had to come out and finally come to the roadside, and then a car came and took us to a nearby, there was a kind of first aid place. Just we were in the forest. So anyway, eventually we got ourselves together and went back to the city where we're going. I preached. The next day, I had to preach again. Then I was affected. I said, I cannot stay here. I need to leave. I didn't finish the program. I said, I was affected because we had almost died. You wouldn't know what a near-death experience is till you have one. Yeah. So just listen and believe. You don't need to have that experience. So, after that, I was checking my salvation. Am I saved? I called my friend Bishop Saki and others. I said, look, go and baptize me again. Yeah. Because I thought maybe I'm not so saved. I went for baptism. They baptized me. When they came out, I said, no, again, baptize me. Because I saw eternity like this. You don't know what it can do for you. But after that, everything changed in my life. And I realized that when you are thinking of you'll be around forever, you don't understand life. Yeah. You see, we all believe God for 70 years, 80 years, and all that. But John the Baptist was about 30 years when he died. And Jesus said there was no greater man of God than John the Baptist. He was just 30. And Jesus himself was 33. So, it may not be that you get to 70, but maybe you finish all for some reason. Look, when you are playing a match, and the goalkeeper, your coach, say, number 7. Come off. I'm bringing this man on. I'm taking you off. I'm bringing this one on. You can't argue. You got to go out. So, ladies and gentlemen, when the Bible says the race is not to the swift, people who are planning, I'll do this, you don't know. Bible says, whereas you know not what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? So, Christians should stop thinking in that way and do things quickly. Hallelujah. Amen. Speed is very important in ministry. The battle for strong. Amen. Yeah, go back to that verse. It's a nice verse. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. The one you had before. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. But what is your life? What is your life? You are like a cockroach that can be pressed like this. You will not wake up again. Yeah. Anyway, this is not a crusade. So just, it is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Wow. So back to the battle. Be strong. And bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding. Now, one of the things we need to understand more is lay ministry and full-time ministry. So in this book, The Art of Ministry, as you can see, I've been on this book and I'm not able to finish. I'm just skipping things. Because each book is loaded with a lot of things. If you have the time and the patience to receive and to learn, it will be a blessing for you. Anything you read in the book, never assume it's for somebody. It is for you. Now, understanding, you must understand that lay ministry is not God's ordained plan. God did not ordain, want his priests to work partly in Tokyo and partly back in Johannesburg. No, that is not God's plan. Although many pastors today are doing that. They do business, they do this, they do that, they do that. I mean, do you think God's work is not important? Never. God's work is very important. We have misrepresented God's work. Yes. And we have caused the ministry to not be attractive and not be seen as a great vocation. But it takes humility to see God's work as a great vocation. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 14 says that the Lord has ordained that they which preach the gospel should live by the gospel. Amen. Should live off the gospel. Amen. Verse 13, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live off the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Okay, and verse 14, it says, so God has ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. This is God's ordained way. I don't know what you have ordained, but this is God's ordained way, that people should, go back to verse 13, should minister about holy things, okay, of things that are of the temple, and those who should wait at the altar should partake of the altar. So whatever comes to the altar, if you bring a cow, we cut the cow, we burn parts, but we cut the big leg and we take it home to make some steak. This is God's plan. I'm surprised that some people will leave the church because a car was bought for. We are now going to get a house. So I don't know what you are going to do about that. Yes. We are now going to see. Yeah. You may leave the country next. Now that was a powerful message by Bishop Mosan. Yes, that was very powerful. But you know, I think that what he's saying is very important for you to hear what he's saying in relation to what I'm saying. But what he's saying explains what I'm saying. He's actually explaining what I'm preaching. He's explaining to you what the Bible says, that when you read the book, it is sweet. But when it goes deeper, it is bitter. It's nice to hear it. It sounds very logical. That's the right thing. But when you actually do it, you say you are having branches. You say you are doing this. You say you are leading your people. It's a different thing. It is very difficult to move to another type of ministry that I've experienced. Very, very hard. So I really recommend him. I find him unusual in South Africa. I find him as somebody who is broad-minded, travels, open. And those of you who are assisting him, raise your hand. Grace Bible Pastors, I hope this evening you will not leave before he leaves. Eh? I'll be watching your cars. I'm coming to check all your cars. Stay around and learn from him. Yes. Stay around. Just stay around. Learn to hang around. Amen. I want you to be to You see, in your church, you have a great person, but you don't know that he's great. Yes, you don't know that he's great. That's why when I come, I talk about such things. It's not that I don't have topics. I have a lot of preaching topics. But there are some things that are appropriate for me to say. Yeah, because you have a great person, but you don't know that he's great. And you'll be walking around and you don't honor the person. What is a car? What is a car? What is a car? Look at this church. You want the person to be in a coffin lying here, they will say, oh, you are glorious. Yeah. So, what was I talking about? Can somebody remind me what I'm preaching about? Huh? Yeah, living of the gospel. Living of the gospel means that your income and your survival is from offerings. That's what it means. And you're not ashamed of it. Do you understand? Yes. Now, what I'm trying to point out is that is what God has ordained. It's like God's plan, perfect plan, is what he has decided. Now, all other variations which we come up with must be considered to be temporary variations that will come up maybe because of a great need or maybe a great sacrifice that you are making extra to whatever. Like Paul was making tents. Daniel was a prime minister. There is a reason why you have to do some of these things. Certain countries, you cannot stay in those countries without having either a job or being in school. I can't tell you how many pastors I have had who have had to go to school that they already finished school. And they go and enroll as students so that they can be in that country, because that country will not give them the visa to stay there. So in order to do the work of God, a grown-up has to go to school. One day I saw one of my pastors, a grown-up, he's finished, he's a professional, whatever. He went and enrolled. And he told me, it's not easy, the lectures. I said, try. And he was going for lectures and being in the school and at the same time planting the church. That is still there up till today. Wow. Hallelujah. So, all these variations, you must understand, are a variation which is not what God has originally planned. And you must understand that it is a high calling to be a full-time minister. It's an honor. You will not even get a chance that you are looking down on it. You know? And so, instead of taking pride in the fact that you do business and this and that, you should take joy in the fact that God has been able to lift you up and separate you from normal people who go to work at FNB, Stanbic, MTN, Mr. Price, ShopRite, Pharaoh International. Hey! Pharaoh, you work for Pharaoh. Instead of giving testimonies that you work for Pharaoh, you should be giving testimonies that you are free from Pharaoh. Instead of, because Pharaoh will hardly let you go. The Bible says Pharaoh would hardly let the people go out. He doesn't want you to ever work for God. Because God's work is suffering. God's work is suffering. I've been around all of South Africa, even to places that many of you have never been. I can tell you 100% the churches are suffering. The work of God is not working well. Yes. Even the places which have church buildings, they are not full at all. On Sundays, just a small section that people come to. Pastors are not, the work of God is not working as it should be. Yes. So, God wants people to give themselves totally to this without being ashamed.
Hallelujah.
And you see, that's part of the humility.
Amen.
Where you feel I'm a professional. Wow, but I'm a this and I'm that and I'm that. And why should I? How can somebody like me, whatever, and this and that? No. You know? And just like what Bishop Musa was explaining, that, you know, sometimes in this country, if a doctor comes to the church, you have to even acknowledge him. We have a doctor. Glory be to God. Who is in our presence is the second Holy Spirit who has come to stay with us today. We thank God for this second Holy Spirit that is here. Dr. So-and-so has come to the church. And when you make such people important, the day they leave, you cry. And they see that they are powerful. They can sense that they are powerful. Oh, yes. Yes. You don't have to make these people important in the church. No, you have to know what is important. No, no. You see, there are people who think the things depend on them. It doesn't depend on you. You know. Have you read Reinhard Bonnke's story? You may not. Well, in that story, he tells about how he started preaching, and he was an evangelist. He was preaching a gospel. He did not know how to pray for the sick. So there was a guy, I think it was a black guy, who was praying for the sick. Yeah. And in his book, he wrote, I don't know if it's the same person you are thinking about. I don't know, maybe you are even here. The person is even here. I don't know. But when the guy, he asked Bonnke for something, and Bonnke didn't agree on whatever. So the guy said he would leave. And when he left, he told somebody that Bonnke is finished. As I'm going, Bonnke is finished. I mean, it's in his book. Yeah. But you see, somebody cannot be finished by you going anywhere. There are people, I tell you, when they left your church and they felt you are finished. But I came to tell you that you are not finished at all. I'll tell you when you are finished. You are finished when God is finished with you. Until God is finished with you, no one can finish you. I declare you are even starting all over again. Nobody here should feel too important. That's what God showed me in the accident. He showed me, you are gone. I tell you, many people who die are shocked that they are dead. I hear that people are in denial when they die. They can't believe they are dead. So, oh no. They start trying to talk to people and no one can hear them. Hey! So, pastors, and we must now develop more full-time pastors. Yes, more full-time, because God's work, the harvest is waiting. We need people who give themselves wholly to this great work. It's a great job. It's a wonderful job. I call it the beautiful job. I had a camp called the beautiful job. Wow! This is the real beautiful job. You cannot compare being a minister to working at MTN. What are you talking about? Or being a footballer or a boxer? Or working at Mr. Price or KFC? So I'm now the manager of KFC in Pimville, and I'm also the manager. So I'm managing two KFC restaurants that have been promoted. I'm the supervisor of two restaurants. So I shuttle between Pimville and then where's the other one? Klep Street. Yeah. I shuttle the two and I'm now the supervisor. Supervisor of frying chicken. Supervisor of frying chicken, and you are so happy and you are boasting about it. And God is calling you to a higher calling. What? It is a great honor to be given the opportunity to ever be a priest. Yes. And so today, look at my hand. God is calling you to be a priest. Look at my hand. God is calling you to be a priest. Many are called. Many are called. You say, oh, are we all called? I didn't say all are called. I say many, which means the majority and most. And obviously, if you are here, you are likely to be called because something must have brought you to this conference. This is not a normal conference. Yes. And you see, the call of God must be responded to in time. That is why the Bible says in Numbers 4 and Numbers 8 that from the age of 25 to 50, you shall do the service in the house of the Lord. From the age of 25 to 50. Because the work of God is hard. It's hard. It takes your life. It takes your energy. Yes. Look at it, Numbers 8. From the age of 20 and 5 and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle. Now, what Bishop Mosa is saying is very important to note in the South African context, that if they gave you Bantu education, at least it was an education. And then, what you must realize is that education, do you see, is not necessarily in a school. It's not necessarily in a school that you get educated. Yes. Now some of you think, you know, well, if we were in Ghana, we are also lawyers and doctors, we would be able to do a lot. No. Not necessarily. Leadership, for instance, in Africa, most African countries have had very educated people as leaders. What has it led to? It has led to what you can see when you go out. And some of us, you know, we are going to have some iron sharpening iron in other parts of Southern Africa. And I will expect you to come. It will broaden your thinking. Yes. If you go to a place like Mozambique, it will help you to understand. It will help you to understand yourself. Understand what is happening. Maputo is a very good place to see because they also had white people ruling them. And then I think 1975, the black people took over. And they gave the white people 24 hours to live with 24 kilos, the weight, the luggage. People who have lived there all their lives and were born there, they said, you have 24 hours to live with 24 kilos. And they left. And you see from the day they left, if you go to Maputo, if this is Maputo, from here to here is when the white people were there. These are skyscrapers like this. Tall. And then from here is where the black people took over. It's all slums and shacks all over from 75. Pastor, is it true or not? Yes, there are people from Mozambique here. You see our way of doing things. You understand yourself better. Yeah. And you see, many of them, and they started wars. 75, they threw out the white people and started the war for 18 years. How long was the war? 18 years. Started 18 fighting. So if anything, we need to educate ourselves, not necessarily in a formal education of sitting in a classroom. If I look in Ghana, there are two pastors who have become world famous pastors. And these pastors don't have much education. The first is Dr. Otabo. He has not been much to school. When you see him and me, if you see him and you see me, you would see him as an educated person and me as not very educated. If you put the two of us side by side. Yes. They call him even Doc. Doctor, yes. Me, nobody calls me Doctor. Yeah. Musa, have you called me doctor before? You don't, they don't call me doctor. Nobody call, do you call me doctor? I went to the university for 7 years to become a doctor. They don't call me doctor. Not even doc. But he's the first person to build a private university. He has one of the largest churches with a network of thousands of churches. He's one of the best and famous pastors without education. Well, what you call education, that is the formal education. Up to a point he had it, and then after that he couldn't continue. Yes. So education is not like, look, I sat in a class, so maybe I had this education. So I, no, there is more that you can do to educate yourself. That's why we come with all these books and things. Then, another person is Archbishop Duncan Williams. He will tell you that, he has no classmates. When he says he has no classmates, it's not that like there's nobody in his class. But he was never in his school to have a classmate, like this is my classmate. Yes. And he is somebody who many presidents, you see, one of the signs of the anointing is also one of the levels is that the kings would listen to you. Yeah. Oh, yes. I've been there where I've seen presidents calling him Papa. Yes. Vice president call him Papa. He calls them, he relates with them. Yeah. And it's not by age, he's not that much older. It's not like he's an old, no. He's younger. Yeah. And when he speaks, I've been with him in many settings. I've been with him with, different kinds of settings with different types of people. You see that? There is a certain command. Somebody who has not been to class. He used to sell chewing gum. That was his job. He was selling chewing gum. We have a type of chewing gum in Ghana called PK. He was a PK seller. Do you have PK here? Yeah. And then when you come to the airport in those days, there were these boys, aimless boys without jobs, who would come to the airport. When you come out holding your suitcase, they rush to take your suitcase for you and try to push it. He was one of them. That was what he was doing. When Christ saved him, when Christ saved him, you talk about education. He has educated himself in many things. Somebody who could not read, could not write his name. Yes. He was humble enough to go to a Bible school. He went to a Bible school. And what he saw when he went to Bible school gave him a great inspiration. So, when you talk about education in South Africa, maybe you were denied or maybe whatever. But now that you found Christ, what are you going to do? Amen. Now that you found Christ, what are you going to do? Some of you even, it's not that you were given Bantu education. Maybe you were given whatever good education there is called. Even that you were not serious. So you still end up with no education in that sense. But now that you are serious, now you have to educate yourself and be trained. And that is where even traveling. Hallelujah. You see, when we talk about traveling, Bishop Moses started traveling outside South Africa. Was it just after apartheid? Just after? Or before? Before apartheid was over? Yes. Even traveling. Traveling is one of the most important educational experiences. If you travel, you learn things. You always learn. You learn. I don't know what it is about traveling that makes you learn, but you learn. You think you are just sitting there, you just come and you go, but you are learning something. Why are you learning something? Because you are seeing something. Oh, yes. I can never say, every trip I have traveled, I learned something. It was when I visited Bishop Oliver's church. one of the times I was there, he went and brought a tent. And we were in the tent for the program. We were doing a lot of soul winning. A tent. I think one, two, or three years I was there. When I was in the tent, see, that, it was good for me to see the tent. Because then, when the vision for healing Jesus crusade came, then it was like, I need a hall. Then I remembered the tent. But because I saw it at his church. So God took me there to educate me on how to start my crusade by seeing something. Just seeing, but you don't know you are learning. I didn't even know what it was useful for that moment. That's why I show you these videos, because you don't know what you are learning. Just seeing it, you even know something. But you don't even know what you know. So, educate yourself. That is why, if you don't read, you are not serious. That's all. You are just like me wanting to be a pilot. I have done nothing about becoming a pilot. It's just a dream, a vision. I've never read a book on piloting. I've never attended any classes. I've never checked on the internet steps to being a good pilot. Nothing. I'm just saying I want to be a pilot. I want to be a pilot. Oh, God has got. I mean, I'll be a pilot. I saw it on a film. Stupid boy. You are nothing near a pilot. There is nothing about you that is ever going to be a pilot. It's just talk. The hard work. Look at Bishop Duncan Williams. He traveled to Nigeria. Benson Idahosa told him, come. Come. And he was in Nigeria. He went there, stood there. They did physical. I patterned my school after that idea. They do physical work. Yes, you work, you do this. Oh, if you can't do that, you are proud. Yeah. Some of you in the church, I mean, when they ask you to do something, oh, why should you? It shows how your mind is darkened. That's why you don't want to do certain menial jobs. Yes, your mind is darkened. And I didn't call your name, but it's still dark. Yes. It would be good for you to be here. You see, when you come here, when I come and I see fathers like Dr. Mashwangani sitting here, I am educated. I am educated. Better be educated, though. Going places and seeing things is very important. And the more you have, the more you see how deficient you are, how lacking you are, small you are. Yeah. And you see what you need. So we must give ourselves wholly, and we must go all out until the day comes where we are 100% separated into God's ordained way of ministry. And stop giving excuses for this half and half ministry. Often it's because we were too old when we started believing things. Yes. A lot of you are old. You can check from your stomach. You see that it is bigger. What a shock. Amen? Are you still around or you are leaving? Very good. So, give thyself wholly. Give thyself wholly. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy 4. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all men. The TLB version says, throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone may notice your improvement and your progress. Yes, your improvement and your progress. Throw yourself into your tasks. Amen. So many of us, this scripture, keep it up there, please. This scripture is the scripture that led me into going all out. I had always been working for God as a student, and then when I became a doctor, I did work for the Lord half and half. But this scripture, one day I was having my quiet time. And quiet time is a very important. I have a book about quiet time. It is, somebody asked, what's your secret? Where is it? Quiet time, yeah. Quiet time is a secret. I was having my quiet time. I was married. We are newly married. I was having my quiet time. This book, Understanding the Importance of the Quiet Time. And whilst I was having my quiet time and praying, I saw this script, give thyself wholly. And the part that struck me was that thy profiting may appear to all. And it was like God was showing me that if I give myself fully to the ministry, like the benefit of it will become apparent to everybody. And that if I don't give myself wholly to it, certain changes and certain benefits that are necessary in the ministry, benefits to the ministry, like certain growth, certain expansion, certain improvement, certain progress, I'll never see it. So, you know, all through ministry, I had been looking out for this verse to be fulfilled. That thy profiting may appear to all. Yes. So from that time, I had a business. I was a part-time businessman and part-time pastor. I was a sand and stone contractor. Do you know what that is? Sand and stone contractor. I supply sand and stones for construction. Yeah. Building materials. Not building materials. Sand and stones. That was my work. I said I was a sand and stone. You cannot tell me what I was. I'm telling you that I was a sand and stone contractor. And I decided, and I had a truck. And after I had my quiet time, I got up. You see, God, I say that there's an angel when a certain revelation comes. I can remember when God spoke to me at different places. And you must be very good at, Dr. Go, give me that book, The Art of Hearing. You must be good at hearing. The difference in your life and ministry is going to come by your ability to hear. Yeah. The Art of Hearing. Third row. Yeah. The Art of Hearing. To hear. So I felt God was telling me, you got to keep yourself holy. Ah. So I got up. I remember the room. The carpet was blue. Floor was blue. I was lying down. I was lying down like this. And I got. It's like something comes into the room. The angel comes, and the guidance comes, the revelation comes. Give yourself fully, totally, to this thing. Totally. Yeah. And that was the turning point. I called for my truck, and I went to park it at where they sell trucks for sale. I say, for sale now. End of sand and stone business. Yes. How will I live? I talked to my sister. I told her, give me small money. It was about $100 or $200 something every month. Because she was working at a powerful place. Give me, as I'm going to be a priest. She looked at me. I remember sitting, she was looking at me, my sister. She said, if you are going to preach, like what? She asked, what am I going to do? I said, like, I'm going to preach to students. And yes, I said, yes. I'll go to schools, I'll preach to students. She said, if that's what you are going to do now, I'll give you. Yeah. She carried the whole of Lighthouse and all my ministry was her. That little money she gave, that was it. And through that door, I walked in and started a church. Yeah. And I've given myself total. That's why even after that, you know, people come and say, you can do this. You know, I said, you know something? For me, I am 100% for the church. I don't do business at all. Yes. All out. Yeah. And the profiting of the ministry is what you are. That's, you see me standing here, I'm talking to you. That's it. In the books, you are benefiting. And the things you are benefiting. It's appearing to many people. And it will appear to even more people. How many are going to be at ISI in India? Oh, I didn't see your hand. You see, some of you, you don't even want to move. Oh. How many of you are going to be in ISI in Sri Lanka? Yeah. Yeah. It's coming on. That profiting is appearing. Yes. It's appearing. And you see, many of us young, if you are here, you are South African and you are young, stand up, below 30. Below 30. The majority are over 30. Okay, below 31. Yeah. You see, many people who are working for God in South Africa are older. God is going to have to use old people now. Yes. God is going to have to. I know you. Yes. Because the young people, we have not raised them up. We have not raised them up. And we need to train you.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. You see these crusades? Some of the crusade directors are pure South Africans. Yes. I took them from here and I took them to Liberia. I said, is there anybody here who went to Liberia? South African who went to Liberia? Where are my crusade directors? Ah, that's one coming. Yes. Come, come. Speak, what language do you speak? What language do you speak?
I speak Setswana.
Setswana. Explain to them that where you went in your language.
Don't speak one way. Kileko, Liberia. not only. Isinko, Liberia fell. Kitoko Liberia, Kitoko Sierra Leone, Kitoko Guinea Conakry, Kitoko Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. Kiboni, a place Kiboni Pleke Esa Twani Limohaim. It was innately different.
Translation. Vuyo, translate. You were also, what language did you speak? What language did you speak?
Afrikaans.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, Afrikaans. Was it Liberia to gaan? Sierra Leone? Guinea-Bissau, en die plekke wat ons daar gesien het, daar die paie, daar is die paie nie, daar is die kragie, daar is die ligte nie, is net gun bullet holes in die gebouwe wat julle sien, die mense is arm, daar is die kosie, ons moet die kos laat in die aand kry, by verskillende plekke wat snacks lyk, daar is hongerte wat net aangaan, dag na dag na dag, dit hou net nie opie. Wat nog, ons moest door bosse gerei het, bosse wat die paie het, ek en McAven was in een bus gewees, wat net stof en sand inkom, is berge en bome, maar Bishop, is berge en bome, wat ons net sien, daar is die werk van die Healing Jesus campaign, wat door al die lande gegaan het, van Sierra Leone, Liberia, Guinea-Bissau, al die plekke daar.
Ja.
Gone go sna le borotho re tshore ke tlala maar ne re itumela gore re berekela Healing Jesus campaign. Re tsamaile on long tseletseditelletele. Very long distance.
Okay.
Re drive ke kastwa. Re khana about no, not about. Vuyo senatora ke malaria. Apalla ko hoja. Ne ke tshugile gore o tloswa. And no. Okay. Ke driver, nna ke driver koloi. Ke khana koloi. Ya left hand, ya ka mo letsogo la molema. Go tswa ko Ivory Coast go fitlha Ghana. La mathomo ke driver koloi ka mo letsogo la molema because ka gonne ntate o ne ke kgana le yena. Ntate o ne ke kgana le yena o ne a kgathetse. So ona kgathetse a tsore ke boroko. So ankgopela hore mekaiven ke kgopela kganne kare ka mojotsa kere na azanga ka kganna kolo ya ka mo molemeng are ska wara wena tsena koloi re tlotsa ma ka tsena koloi ka kganna go tlogwa ko Ivory Coast go fitla Ghana ke dotso mo koloi.
He's always saying the same thing. Ivory Coast, Ghana, Ivory Coast, Ghana. Fire the guy. I think that this guy deserves. Okay. Clap for them. Hey. Why do you think I took them there? I'm training them to become bishops and to become great evangelists. Yes. It's part of the education. So when you reject it, you are rejecting your education and your life. And that is what it means to give yourself holy. It takes humility to do all these things. And you see that they are humble. As we are pouring this, we can even bat them here. We will not feel worried about it. But some of you, if we tell you, what do you mean? Can I just put what you mean? What kind of nonsense is this? What kind of nonsense? You can't do that here. You West Africa, you do that in West Africa. You can't come here. You can't just come here and do nonsense. Hey, who is that? Who said that? Who is talking like that? Who are those who have those thoughts? It's in this direction. The way they are sitting down, you can see that they have. Warn them to be very careful. All of you, warn them. You are warned. This is your last warning. Give thyself holy. Let me tell you, I am a doctor, but I can tell you that ministry is a great job. Greater than any other job. Yes. And I will encourage all young people, middle age, now it looks like we have to move into middle age. How many are in your middle age?
These in this area, they are neither young nor middle-aged from here. Why? From here onwards. Check them out. Why are you? Are you old or middle-aged? You are old. Which one are you? Old or middle-aged? Let this be the last warning. This section here. Pastor Mosa, I need permission to fire your people.
With water, yes.
With water, yes. Okay. Hey! Are you going to give yourself holy? Give thyself holy. Yes. Go all out. Take the books. Take the Bible. Learn it. Take the good examples I gave you. Of Dr. Audible in Ghana, those of you who don't know him, Dr. Duncan Williams, these two good examples. Good examples. And give yourself to ministry. Yeah. Give yourself to ministry. And become something so different from how you are today. Totally trained and educated. And I'm telling you, South Africans, you know what? You know how what I want to hear one day? Somebody will come and see a South African who's started a church, has a wonderful ministry in another country, and somebody will ask you, so how did you do it? And you tell the person, you know, have you heard of apartheid? They say, yeah, we've heard of apartheid. They say, we were part of the struggle. So we know how to struggle against the devil. You know how to struggle against the devil. Yes. You tell the person, we South Africans, we went through something, and that spirit is in us to fight the enemy, not to fight authorities, not to fight pastors and to fight legitimate authorities, but to fight Satan, to fight devil. The person says, how can you stay in this country for 19 years? You ask, do you know how long we struggled against apartheid? That's why no African can do what we South Africans can do. Because we know how to struggle. You say the songs of South Africa, we can sing. That's why as a missionary, I can sing songs and encourage myself and move and flow in the spirit and stay in this country and do the work of God and survive here. Because I'm South African. We should now see the positive effects. The positive effects of having been through this thing. Rather than the negative, which is always fighting against authority or anybody who is above or any legitimate authority, which is now a negative effect. Yes. In fact, I'll tell you, one time I saw one of my pastors, I think it's Peter, he told me he was part of the struggle. Where is he? Peter, isn't it? You were a comrade. Huh?
Yes, Bishop.
Yes. When I saw him, when he told me he was a comrade, he was part of the struggle. Immediately my faith in him increased. I said, oh, this is a fighter. He's going to really fight for God and fight for the kingdom. That's honestly, that's what I felt. That's what I felt. Survival. It's like I can survive. And he's fighting. He's fighting. Yeah. That's the spirit that must come out of you. It's like, look, there is nowhere we cannot survive. How can it be that everybody has to be in Gauteng? What about all the different parts of South Africa? And what about all the countries that are around? How can it be? Only Johannesburg area is like, this is where God is. That is not true. That's where money is. That's what's guiding. Money is guiding, not God. As many as are led by money, they are the sons of
Mammon.
Yes. God must guide us. God must lead us. God must lead us to the towns, to the provinces, to the settlements. Yes, a shining light who cannot be. So I said, so why don't you go? Why don't you leave? He said, look, we have been through a struggle. We know the struggle.
Amen.
Yes. And God is going to use you. Look, the problems of crime, drugs in this country. Look, when have police been able to solve any problem? When has police, law, politics, none of these things can solve them. The problems are beyond anything that you can ever do. Only God can solve. And I'm telling you, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a wonderful thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jesus died, he chose us, he saved us to save other people.
Yeah.
Yes. And we are going to go out there. We are going to preach. I said, young men are going to give themselves all out. All out for Jesus Christ. We are going to give thyself wholly. God told me, give yourself wholly to me. Give yourself completely to me. And since then, I'm giving myself completely. What does it mean? It means I should give my heart. My heart is the first part. And I've given my heart. My heart is in this work. I am doing what I'm doing from my heart. I'm not paid to do it. That's what I'm doing. God, they said you should do it. That's why there's nothing like closing time, holiday time, this time. We have holiday, we know all those things. But it's like, this is from my heart. My heart is with God. My heart is with God and His work. And I believe that serving God can is a great opportunity. I mean, a priest. Somebody will call me a priest. I mean, how will you be called a priest? It is an honor. It's an honor pose. High calling. They call you priest. I mean, how can you compare that with doing business selling furniture? You're selling furniture, you're selling carpets. So I'm a dealer, I'm into a computer, I sell computer chips. We are making cards, we are doing this. What are all these? You know, one day, I was in the house somewhere, and then a lady who was a top executive in the bank, manager, came by. And I wasn't there, so she left a card. So when I came and I looked at the card, wow, I saw the name, Barclays. Oh, I shouldn't have mentioned the name. I can't finish my story. But the Lord said to me, though, this person is a manager of a sandcastle. Yes. Sandcastle? This glorious thing? I said, it's a sandcastle. Have you ever built a castle? You've not been to the beach before. Some of you have. You see, you need to travel. You've not been to the beach before. Yes. When you go to the beach, you see, you build a big monument of sand. The waves will come. Shh. Go away. It's gone in one flash. All these earthly things, they are gone. Psh, like that. It's gone. It's finished. Give yourself wholly. Give yourself wholly. Young people, I tell you, it is a job. Look at me. I don't live from being a doctor or a businessman. I live off the gospel. That's what is keeping me going. That's what's keeping me alive. That's what's feeding me. That's the work that I'm doing. It's a good job. I'm advertising this great job for you. Believe in Jesus. Believe in the work of ministry. Give thyself wholly. Then I give him my love. Yes, my love. To give yourself wholly means to give your love. What do you love? I love him. I give my love. Huh? My love is directed. And God, he doesn't want challenges, though. God has planes with bombs. Anything you like too much, he can send a plane, boom, and it's gone. Yes. Loving God is the greatest adventure you can ever undertake. I wonder when I see people preaching about all kinds of things, when there's an opportunity to love God himself. Loving God is the best thing you can ever do for yourself. To choose God, I love you. I can't see you, but I love you. I like you. I want to follow you. I want to give myself to you. I want to pray. That's why I don't like fasting where you don't pray. I'm not used to that. I want fasting where I can lie down. Lie down. I can lie down. Kabayaba. Oh, Kaba Baba. Where is God? God, where are you? Oh, God. Kabaya. Jesus. From morning to evening, I'm looking for him. Yes. Yes. I like it. I like it. I like God. Hallelujah. I want to be with God. I don't like fasting and walking about. It's just, I mean, it's just an exercise. No. I'm not doing, I don't know what name you have. I want to be with him. Yes. You know, there's a verse we always quote when something bad happens. What's the verse we use? Anytime something bad happens, what do we use? That's the pastor's verse. You know, it's our trump card. Anytime there's something, we just bring it out and say, sister, all things work together for good. But it is not true. All things don't work together for good for Christians. No. All things work together for good for those who love God. Loving God, God lovers, are those who have things working together for their good. So choose to love God. I've given him my love. My love for him surpasses my love for anything. Yes. And I pray what I'm saying is true. Because nobody knows your heart. You may say big things that when you go inside, I see that it's not the same. Yes. It means to give him your intellect, my intelligence. I mean, I have some intelligence. I must have some intelligence to have gone to medical school. And in my country, there was only one medical school. And out of the whole country, they interviewed everybody who wants to come. An order of rank. And they chose. I was the fifth person in the whole country to be chosen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I must have something up there. Not just porridge. There must be something there. I've given my intelligence. 100, not to making money. No. You people don't know. Making money is not the greatest thing. You see, it's advertised and magnified even by pastors. My intelligence is applied, all my wits. And anything I use to pass exam, chemistry, physics, math, biology, whatever I apply, everything is to the work of God. 100%. Oh, yes. Yes, 100%. When we say give thyself wholly, the whole thing to God. Wholly. My family, I give my whole family to God. My wife. Initially, my wife was not working in the church. I really wanted her to work in the church. She's a lawyer. So she was doing one or two cases. And one day, she had an accident on the way to work. And when she came back home, she was shaken. And then I saw that give thyself wholly was coming slowly into her soul. Yes. I give my children. Yes. Wholly. I want all my children to work for God. Amen. If they will, it's free. It's up to them. I don't force you. One of them recently said he wants to work for God. I said, this is my honor. This is my honor. It's my honor. Oh, yes. It's a blessing. I give my money. Amen. All my money I give to God. Yeah. He said, David said, because of my affection for the house of God, I give everything to God. Whatever I have, I give it to the ministry. Yeah. One day somebody gave me some things. You know, some equipment and some wonderful things that I have used in the house. I took it all to the church. At the beginning of the church, everything I gave to the church. Yeah. People don't know, you see, the key to your profiting appearing to all is the key of giving yourself totally. You see, things respond. They respond. Ministry will respond to you giving yourself totally. So if you come to Bible school, which I'm inviting you all to come to Bible school in Ghana, if you give yourself, you see that it's like this scripture has to be fulfilled. It's like you have sown a seed. And it will respond. It will take time. As Bishop Moses said, it will be bitter, it will be this, it will be this, but it will respond. Yes. I give my intelligence, my family, everything I have is for God. And you only be jealous when you see my profiting appearing. Yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm invited to speak here, to speak here, to say, just to speak for 30 minutes. Come and talk to for 30 minutes. Japan. You say you're going to Japan. I've been to Japan to speak for a few minutes. I've been to all these places that you are mentioning. They say you are going for medical checkup in Singapore and all those places. I've been there. You say you're going to see your doctor in Japan, and from there your doctor in Singapore, and your doctor in Cairo, before you come to Dubai, and then you'll be back in Johannesburg. I've been there. I've been there. Yeah. I pour my life into the ministry. And my profiting is appearing. Everybody can see the profit. It's appearing. Yeah. Yeah. And you are given partly. Part for this, 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 part for this. It's a mystery. But it's the mystery of loving God and seeing that. You have to see and believe that God is great. God is like God is the best employer. God is the best. He's the best person to ever work for. He's the best person to be with. It's not about, you know, and one of the things is that sometimes there's not much to do. And there's no need yet for you to give yourself wholly. And sometimes people do that and then they sit and they wonder, what am I doing? I remember when I first started in full-time ministry, I was a little confused because we got an office, myself, Bishop Saki, we got an office. We had an old table, we painted it black because it was so bad. When anything is not working, just paint it black. It looks nice. You know? Yeah. And we sat in the office with the desk and I looked at him, I looked at myself, I said, what are we doing here? What is going to happen? You know, but that brings us to what we call the mysterious purposes of full-time ministry. Why you are in full-time ministry. Amen. Are you still around? Yes. Wow. Now, what are the mysterious reasons? Romans 11 verse 13. It is time to magnify full-time ministry. He says, but I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch as then I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. I'm making it a great thing. And it's time for us, Bishop Moses, it's time for us to make ministry a great thing. A great career, a great vocation, a great opportunity. And it's not about changing from doing TV work at SABC and coming to do it in Grace Bible. That is not what I mean by ministry. Because when you do that, we cannot compare with SABC. SABC is a big thing. We can never pay you what you are being paid in SABC. We are talking about ministry. What are the mysterious purposes? Romans 11 verse 13, TLB version, Living Bible. As you know, God has appointed me as a special messenger to you Gentiles. I lay great stress on this and remind the Jews about it as often as I can. I lay great stress on it and I remind the Jews as often as I can. Now, what are the mysterious reasons for entering or giving yourself holy? 1 Timothy 4, 14. Look at it. And I'm preaching from this book, The Art of Ministry. Where is it? Somewhere. It must be somewhere. Don't worry, it's around. Yeah. 1 Timothy 4, 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Put 14 and 15 together, please. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Okay? Meditate on these things and give thyself holy to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. This scripture together reveals the mysterious reasons why God wants you to be, give yourself holy. And the first one is that he does not want you to neglect the gift. You see, you have to pay attention to the gift. You have to pay attention to your gift. And many times, you cannot give your attention to your gift because you are working at SABC. Many gifts are neglected. You see people, they say they are doing business. As you do business, you've neglected your gift. The gift of being a shepherd, going around, visiting people, preaching, developing your teaching, you see, praying, and the gift of God to be a good minister. Maybe some of you are great evangelists, great, most of the things we are hidden in us. It will only come out when you pay attention and you don't neglect whatever gift God is giving to you. You cannot afford to neglect your gift. And that is why you have to give yourself wholly. Amen. Give yourself completely. I give it myself to teaching. That's how come to write a book. You have no idea what is involved to write a book. And to write and rewrite and write better. Give thyself wholly is so you do not neglect your gift. What God, what gift has God given you? Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. The gift of pastoring the people. There are so many higher ways of pastoring. Higher and higher. But it's neglected by most of us. Recently, I was invited to the Philippines, Manila. Think about it. Why would I be invited to Manila? Come on. The man in Manila with the largest church in the whole of the Philippines, 30,000 members, he invited me to come. I've always been impressed with this man. I've known him for years, but he's never invited me. When I went to his office, then I said, you see, I call myself a pastor. Look at somebody. He has on his wall a map of the city broken up into squares. It will be about from this pillar. Oh, and every street is there. It's a big city. And where his members are, it's a dot. If you are a member, it's green. If you are two or a family, I think it's blue. Or it's a household, it's red. He has a dot. Everybody is a dot. He knows everybody. He visits. Every member is visited every 4 months, every 3 months. They visit you as a pastor. You must be visited by a pastor of the church, including him. He is giving his printout of these are the places you are going to every week. Yeah. Whilst you are in the bank calculating interest rates, reconciling accounts and doing what else? Balance sheets. Writing red letters. Stock markets. Somebody is counting his sheep and mapping them on the street to see where they are. You see, because you don't know advanced ministry, that's why you think there is nothing to do. Yes, that's why you think there is nothing to do. It is every job, and then you go inside, you think there is nothing to do. Yeah. Who is this man? Banker. And you work for SABC. Do you work for SABC? Stand up. This man works for SABC. It must have been because of you I've been preaching like that. No, he doesn't deserve any. But why do you want to punch somebody who doesn't deserve? Oko. Oko. This guy. Fire the man. Fire the man. Fire the man. The poor guy hasn't done anything. He wants you to fire him. Yeah. Are you listening?
You've neglected the Monday to Friday. You are somewhere where there are people to be visited. Things to be done for the house. And it's all neglected. But because the work of God doesn't shout out. The work of God doesn't shout, I am here, I am here, I've been neglected. You have neglected it. Neglected the work. Look at all these crusades. You, let's count. Let's say we are able to do 10 crusades. Let me do that calculation with you. 10 crusades a year. Okay? 5 crusades in one country. Is that how we calculated it? Let's see. Let's count the countries. Zimbabwe, 5 crusades. Malawi, 5 crusades. Zambia. Mention the countries. Mauritius, Madagascar, Namibia, Swaziland. We've been to Swaziland, Angola, Botswana, Lesotho, Ethiopia, Kenya, Angola, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, 5, every place, 5. Tanzania, Sudan, how many is that? That is 10 crusades a year, 5 in each country. I want us to see how old I will be by the time we are able to do 10 crusades a year. 10 years are gone already. We have mentioned 20. Cameroon, Congo, Brazzaville, Central Africa, Chad, Eritrea, Somalia. No, we have been to Mali already. Yes. When you add it all up, Mauritius, Seychelles Island, Cape Verde, what is this island near? Sao Tome. Sao Tome. No, not, we are not even going to the northern place, just sub-Saharan. It will take us 20 years from now to just visit each of these countries and have only 5 crusades per country. When you add it all. Yes. It's more even. 20 years from now. How old will you be? Most of you will be 70 something years old. Can you imagine Bishop Moser as a 70 year old pastor? You see, there is no time. Nobody is neglected. These countries we went, we just picked 1, 2, 3. There are many places. The whole work of God is neglected. It's just lying there. As we go about. So,
I work for this, what bank?
FNB.
And we are going to Tokyo for a conference. And then I go for medical checkup in Japan. And my doctor in Japan and my doctor in Singapore are conferring on the disease that I have. And that's the testimony you are giving. Is it a good testimony? Yeah. After that, I go for medical checkup here. Then I have this business to do. And I go here and I go here. Hey. And the work is just lying there. And South Africa work is lying there. Lying there. Lying there. Lying there. Lying there. All the townships. And the people. How they are. The separation of the people. The conditions. The crime. The wickedness. And we are here, we are saying, oh, but there's no need for, there's no need for all this extreme. You don't have to go too much, don't go too far. That's the voice of Pharaoh, the voice of Satan. The work of God is lying there, it's just there quietly. God is watching us. It is during our time of being pastors that other religions have overtaken Christianity. Yes. It is during the time of the Laodicean church where we praise ourselves. We say we have this, we have that, we have need of nothing. It is when we were pastors that this shameful turn of events has taken place. It is our fault. Yes, it's lying there like that, neglected. When I take small fundraising to whatever, you see some even Christian criticizing me. Criticize. You just even wonder, what do you think about? It's so sad.
Huh? So that's why I'm calling out to you and I'm saying God wants you to give yourself wholly. And pastors, let us raise up our young people. I will encourage everybody here. Send at least 2, 3, 4, 5 young people. Send them to Bible school. Just like Archbishop Duncan Williams, he was taken. In fact, I love that man, Idahosa. He would meet you at the reception of the hotel and say, come to the Bible school. That's all. You just come to, and you come. And they are all pastors now. The top pastors of Ghana are all graduates from that Bible school. So God gave me that inspiration that do a Bible school. Let people come there 1.5 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is. They will go back. They will have seen a big church. They would have seen crusade. They would have done things. They would have been brought in. They will receive the anointing. And one day, practically, you will see that they are the main pastors. If I mention the top pastors in Ghana, they are all graduates from that school of this age group. They all went to the school. It's the future of your church. So that the work of God will not be neglected as it is neglected today. Look at it. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of hands. Meditate on this and give thyself wholly. Give thyself wholly. Let's stop neglecting the work of God. The fact that your church has enough money to pay your little salary doesn't mean the work of God has been accomplished. That is a small aim to achieve. It's a very small aim to achieve. That's why you see pastors are satisfied with their one church. They are satisfied with coming to prepare on Saturday. You see them praying on Saturday. You don't even need to pray for this message you are going to preach. You've been preaching it over and over, recycling this message. Look, you need something to challenge your soul. Something higher than this Sunday 35-minute message that you are preaching. There is more. There is more. I said there is more. There is more. Yes. Some of you ladies think you are beautiful, so you are too beautiful to work for God. What do you mean? Who is that? Who is that? You feel you are posh? Some of you feel you are too intelligent to work in a church. How can I work in a church? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I am? You are nothing. I'm telling you, you are nothing. You are nothing. You are nothing. Yes. It's not only in South Africa. All over the world, people despise the work of God. Many families have brought me their children to the Bible school. Different times. Yes. And I noticed something. One day, a man came to see me. And he said, my son is a thief and a liar. He said, I do not trust my son. He said, there is only one thing I trust. If my son tells me. And I said, what is that? He said, if my son says good morning or good evening, this is what I trust because I can see that it is morning. So I said, good morning. And he said, can you please accept him in your Bible school? Yes. Another family, they have doctors and different people, but they had one son who was a weed smoker, marijuana smoker. And they came and they said, oh, we want this son to be a priest. So they brought the marijuana smoker. Another time, another family had, you see, people don't respect the church. It's like the intelligent one should be a doctor and the fool should be a pastor. Yes. The stupid one should be the pastor. And the drug addict who is not cured, not a past drug addict, current addict, he should be in the church, in the priest. Another time, a family, they had one of their children with a swollen head. hydrocephalus, the head was very big and he was not so clever. And they said, oh, this one should be a priest. We have chosen this one to be a priest. Can he come to your Bible school? Recently, another family brought me another one. I've been receiving every bad person of a family. They say, we have chosen him to be a priest. Is it the right thing?
Yes.
Is it the right thing?
Yes.
For the one who is not clever, he should be in the ministry. The black sheep. Why don't you choose the best member of your family? Does God not deserve the best? I like that song, On a Hill Far Away. Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross. Where what? Where the dearest and the best. Not the worst. Not God's worst. God didn't send the demon to die on the cross for us. Like one of the fallen angels. I'm sending one of these fallen angels to come and die on the cross. Let him come to the world and let him become a pastor. No. He sent the dearest and the best. And tonight, you are the dearest and the best for God. I said you are the dearest and the best.
Hallelujah.
And God is choosing you. And you too in your churches. Choose the dearest and the best. And send them out. Invest the best people that you have. I tell you. You know, today I have bishops. This one is Bishop Intefel. And so many other. Is Steve here? Is Bishop Steve here? Okay. I have wonderful people. Do you know how I got such wonderful people? They were my best. Were you a follow-up director? What were you in the church? Cell leader. My best people, I send them out. That's how come I have all these wonderful bishops. I said, it pained me to send them. This one, I have another bishop in Kenya. He's built many churches in Kenya. How do I have these people? This one, Bishop Dr. Go, he used to be my, what were you?
Follow up, teachers and follow up, counselors for new believers.
He was the counselor for new believers, like follow up ministry. This one was one of my top businessmen in the UK. I mean, he had, you know, offerings to give. He used to bless me with offerings before I sent him on the mission. After I sent him on the mission, the money is finished now. So I was really debating whether I should send him, because I knew that when I send him, that's the end of the blessings.
But
I love the Lord. All these, my best people, that's how, they are wonderful people. What the best people, I send them away. You think I also like sending nice people away? But I know that I'm going to, it's like a boomerang. It's going to come back. Back. And you have all these wonderful people. The best. But because we don't want to invest our best, we pastors, we have imprisoned them. And you can see this person has the potential. This person, God, he loves God. This one is your faithful. That's the person to invest in. I tell you, he's the one who's going to come back as the nicest thing you ever had. None of these things are biologically related to me. There's no relationship at all. But they are like my personal family. I know I will either be at their funeral or they will be at mine. Yes. The best are the people that God wants, so that we don't neglect the work of God. Give thyself wholly. Give everything to Jesus. Yes. That's why I would give my own child. I say, I'll choose my child. Go. I know Bishop Saki will also give his children. And Bishop Eddie will give his children. All of us want our children to serve God. Hey, if our children will serve God, we will be so happy. Because you are not sending, you are not getting. Wonderful. God sent his son. And his son, Jesus, has prevailed to become the lion of Judah. That's why he has the right to sit there. Yes. That's what God is doing. Can I have an amen from somebody? Some of us, you know, we are pastors, but we don't want our children to be pastors.
My son is now in Vancouver. That's the first reason for mysterious purpose of full time is not neglecting the work of God. Number two, the next mysterious reason for full time ministry is for meditation, reading, and exhortation. Yes. Meditation, reading, and exhortation. Read verse 16 as well. Go to verse 16 as well. Wow. Take heed unto thyself. Amen. Sorry. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Till I come. Till I come. Give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Listen. Meditation and reading is the work of a pastor. This book that I'm preaching from, I can't finish it. Where is it? Yes, here still. The Art of Ministry. Yeah. I can't finish it. If you were to take it and meditate on it, this is what pastors don't have. People don't have time. Because you don't meditate, you never get the riches of the word. Oh, yes. People read through that. I've read it. I know what he's saying. But if you meditate on this, look at me, I'm struggling to even progress beyond one point. Yeah. It can go on and on and on and on and on and on. I have camps where I've preached sections of this book. Yeah. All this book have the corresponding preaching. That's why I say get the things. You see, if it's give thyself holy, I have a camp called Give Thyself Holy. I have a camp about full-time ministry. It's called what? Not all out. Walking worthy, something. Yeah. Reading. Pastors don't read. Like, the people who bought the book, I'm not saying anything bad, but only a percentage will read. Some are taking it as if they've bought an ostrich eggs and they are going to put it in their rooms. The ornament. Yeah. Wow. Attendance to reading. Exhortation. Well, what is exhortation? Exhortation is sharing. You must have friends you can exhort. If you cannot exhort your friend, you will not learn much. You see, many people that are with me, when they hear me preaching, they remember I was saying this in the car. Many things I share with my wife in the room. I share in the car when I'm traveling. They know what I'm saying. Not that they know what I'm saying, but they can see that I've been talking about this. Because when you exhort people on what you read, like you share what you read, it rises within you on a different level. So you can't have a friend that you can't share scriptures with. It's a very bad thing to have friends you can't say. You know, the Bible says about all your friends are just about clothes, dresses, shoes, fun, jokes about everything, light, selfies, and what have you. Hey man, I like your hair. Wow, where did you get this hair? Oh, you bought it from ShopRite. Oh, what? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, this is Brazilian. Oh, this is Peruvian. Oh, this is whatever hair. This was highlight. Wow. That's all you do with your friends? But you can't say? 1 Timothy 4. Like, as a friend, just friend to friend.
Any friend you can't share scriptures with is a bad friend. Change that friend today. Today marks the end of that friendship. Today marks the end of that friendship. Look, one day, I was with a pastor. And, you know, my conversation is about scriptures in the Bible. This is my way of talking. If you don't like such things, I can't. When I'm with you, you'll not be happy. Anyway, so I was with this pastor. And we were going somewhere. We were together for some 2 hours. And as I was, I'd never been with him before, but my usual, I started to share what was, I believe in this exhortation. I started to share. We walked together for 2 hours. And then we finished. And we went our separate ways. One day, I met him again. And I was with another pastor. And I was going with another pastor. And he told the pastor, "Hey, this man, if you go with him, he'll just be preaching to you all the time." Now, a fellow pastor, this is how you talk about me. He'll just be preaching to you. You cannot even concentrate. I said, wow. I decided that I'll not keep this person as a close friend. I just said, "Hi." I am sharing with you wonderful scriptures and revelation. You are telling people that I will just preach at you. You cannot concentrate. Concentrate on what? Ask your neighbor, what kind of friend do you have? I want to know what kind of friend you have at SABC. Those guys from SABC, stand up. What type of friend do you have at SABC? Are you able to share scriptures with them? Like this. Yeah. But you see, your Christian friend, when you work for Pharaoh will appoint certain people to be with you. So you can't fight it. But in your the friends you choose, no, you must be able to. Brother, I was so blessed this morning while I was listening to them. Have you checked the podcast? Check the podcast. Listen to this. Listen to that. That was wonderful. You hear what Bishop Moses bring? This is how Christians should share and talk. Not after you talk, you say, "I can't concentrate." When this guy come, I can't concentrate. Concentrate on what? Give attendance to reading, exhortation, and meditation. Meditation. That's why people are not being blessed by the word. You don't think about it. When I share with you, realize that I've thought about what I'm saying. There's been deep thinking. You need time. You need to be able to read. And this is what a full-time person does. When you are out there at the work, Pharaoh is calling you. He says, "Come here. Look at this guy. He works at the bank. He's been given 3 days, 4 days. Go and come back right now. Come back and do the accounts." How can you be thinking about so many things? You better get back to the job. So full-time ministry, many people are in full-time ministry. They don't know what they are doing. One day I met some pastors who were sent as missionaries. And I don't know what they were thinking about, but they just started to tell me. "So we've been watching a lot of..." I said, "What do you do?" "So we've been watching a lot of films." I said, "Oh, okay." So I pretend I was interested in the film. "So what is it? Rambo?" Then they say, "Oh, watch this. Oh, we watch films from morning to evening. At 4 o'clock, we go for outreach and we come." I said, "Wow, full-time ministry, watching films, watching Jurassic Park. That's your full-time ministry." They were sitting in the car with me and they were revealing all these. And I said, "That is why your church is not working. How can it grow when you spend all your time watching movies? Anybody who likes watching a lot of movies, there is something wrong with you. You like a lot of movies, there is something wrong with you, I'm telling you. A spiritual person cannot have even time. How do you have time to watch all these films? You see somebody, a person has watched everything in Hollywood, Nollywood, and Bollywood. Yeah, of course, everything. What is the soap opera you have, the South African one? What is it called?
generation. Are they still doing it? Hey! One day, a pastor and his wife were quarreling. And the children also took sides. So I met one of the children. Then they started to complain. One of them, she was complaining. She said, "My mother is not spiritual." Both the mother and the father are pastors. Reverend this and reverend this. Both of them were reverends. All my stories are true. This one said, "Mommy only reads the Bible when she's going to preach." He said, "Mommy watches films all the time." He said, "Daddy never watches films. Doesn't even turn on the television. He's praying, spiritual." The two are crying, but the children, you see, the children after a point, they start to see. They can see. You may even try to win these children to your side or to your side, but at a point, they see it for themselves. They say, "Mommy never reads the Bible unless she's going to preach." Not the parent, the child. That's what the child told me. "You never read your Bible till you are going to preach. You never read your Bible. The Bible that I was reading this morning and yesterday has nothing to do with what I'm even preaching about today. It's unrelated. I don't read the Bible in relation to what I'm going to preach. I read the Bible in relation to my spiritual development, personal quiet time with God. It has nothing to do with what I'm preaching. You only read the Bible when you are going to preach. That's why your ministry, you've not understood what it means to be in full-time ministry. Full-time ministry is not to be collecting money from the church, to be sitting there watching, generations and what? Movango. And what again? Saving the land. Skim Sab. What is that? Full-time ministry is for meditation. Meditation. Reading books and meditating until God speaks to you. You are joking in ministry. You are watching films as your way of being in full-time ministry. Better get a job at FNB right now and stop deceiving yourself that you are in full-time ministry. Go and get a job. Yes. Go and get a job and stop deceiving yourself that you are in full-time ministry. You are not in full-time ministry. Watching films is not full-time. This is the mysterious purpose. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Give attendance to reading, exhortation, doctrine, studying, praying. One time I watched Benny Hinn preaching. He was preaching so many fantastic things. And he said to the people, "Do you think I'm reading notes? Am I reading any notes?" And I was surprised because the things he was saying, they were so detailed. He said, "I'm not using any notes." He said, "I've studied for nights and days and nights and days, reading D.L. Moody's book, this person's book, this person's book. The things I'm saying," he was preaching in South Africa many years ago. He was about 35 years old. He said, "You think the things I'm saying, I'm just saying that. I've studied. I can show you the videos." You don't study. You think a person just get up and come and I can stand here and just be talking to you for a long time. It just comes by. It's like a gift of, am I a parrot? Am I a tape recorder? You just press play, then I start talking. No. No. Give thyself wholly to prayer. To these things. Meditation. When you are praying, you are meditating, praying, you are seeking God. You are lying on the floor praying. You don't know how to lie on the floor and pray. You are lying on the floor, you are calling on God. You are listening to God and you are seeking God. You are reading the word and praying that God will give you a revelation. You are holding a book just like God Almighty is holding a book. Just like the angel is holding a book. You are also holding a book and saying, "Lord, show me, speak to me, help me. I need to hear something, something."
That is what full-time ministry is about. Yeah. A pastor must know how to wear what we call thinking shorts and walk in the house throughout the day. He's just waiting on the Lord. Yes, that's full-time ministry. When I entered full-time ministry, I had to educate everybody in my house that I am at work. When I'm in my study, I am at work. And when I'm in the house, never call me. No. Some of you, when you are in full-time ministry, your wife will go to work, then she'll say, can you pick the children? Can you buy tomatoes? We need oil. We need some chicken. If you can buy some. Do the laundry, please. And don't forget to wipe or whatever. I'll be back. And they leave you and they go. And they leave the children with you. So you are babysitting. You are not in full-time ministry. You are not in full-time ministry. You are a babysitter. You are a laundry man, I tell you. You are an odd job man. You are not in full-time ministry. Iron. Oh. Even we have some servants, some house help and others. I told one day one of them came to call me from my study. I told him, listen, next time you knock on this door, when you see that I'm there, that's your last day here. That's your last day. That's your last day. You are going home. You start, as soon as you see my face, start packing. Start packing back to the village where you came from. Yes. I wrote a notice on my door. If you knock on this door, for all the people in my house, my wife, the children, and all the servants to see the notice. I said, if you knock on this door and receive no response from within, do not continue knocking or call for me. If you do anything which contradicts this simple instruction, be it known unto you that this door will not be opened unto you, no matter who you are. Yes. It takes time for people to understand a full-time minister. Yes. Yes. Even the fact that we work on Sundays. Ministry, we work on Sundays. Many family obligations. Oh, Sunday after. So see you on Sunday. I say, Sunday. Sunday is my main day from 6 a.m. to midnight. I'm working. I cannot come anywhere on Sundays. Monday, I'm off. That's full-time ministry. You see, you have not traveled. When you go to Korea, you see the church works Sunday, 8 o'clock, 9 p.m. You see 10 p.m. You see people are still there working. Monday, if we are go for the conference, Monday, there's no, only security officers are in the church. It's because you are not exposed to a wider type of ministry. You don't know the full-time ministry. I mean, a full-time minister, that's one of the reasons I wanted my wife to be in full-time ministry, so that we are all off on Mondays. Not that I'm off on Monday, then she has to go and see Pharaoh. Pharaoh has asked her to report by 6. Pharaoh called for you, and I'm also calling for you. You've gone. Hey. Are you still around? How many are going to give yourself holy? Now, verse 16. Is that verse 16? The next mysterious purpose for full-time ministry is your salvation. To save yourself. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. When you do this, you save yourself. You see, many people don't know that the option is either give yourself holy or sometimes backsliding. So you see, there are people here. You may be saying, Lord, should I give myself? Lord, should I do your will? Lord, should I give myself holy? Lord, should I do? Then they say, no, okay, I won't do it. Then the next time you see, the person is even not in the church. Many people who would have served God will tell you, I was called by God, but I didn't listen. The call of God is serious. Yonggi Cho One day he said he was looking through his old photographs. And he looked through and he saw a picture of when they graduated from Bible school. I think they were about 50. He said, when he looked through the picture, everybody in the picture was dead except five of them. And they were the five who were in ministry. Full-time ministry. Yes. Some had become welders, electricians, repairers, sellers of electrical fittings. Carpet materials. Five were alive. The rest, 45, they were dead. You better be careful. When God calls you, it's for your own. It's your own sake. You don't go. You don't go to your own for your own to your own peril. And it's and sometimes you don't know that as you don't go, it's that you are going to backslide and become something else. There was a pastor. He told me. He said one day, around midnight, he heard his gate shaking. He had his gate shaking. And he told the security, oh, who is there? When he went out there, it was a top government official. And the guy came in. He was sick. He was dying. He said, I've gone away from God. I've gone away from God. This was a top Christian. He probably was called by God. I knew that he was high up in ministry. But he went into politics. He confessed before he died. The pastor told me, midnight, he was dying. He didn't die that day. He died a few days later. But he came shaking the gate. Pastor, pray for me. I've gone astray. I've gone into this politics, this, that. Be careful. Full-time ministry, look at it. He said, take it to thyself so that in doing this, you save yourself. Some of you, I can't tell where you would be if you had not been in full-time ministry. You may say you are doing business. Before you realize the business has led you. You say you are doing politics before you realize. You know, one day I heard on the radio in our country, I heard one guy, insulting a pastor. Like he really took him to town and dressed him down and really insulted him. I was just thinking to myself, I wonder what kind of invisible curses are falling on this guy. But I didn't know anything about him. A few weeks later, I met somebody who knew the person personally. And the person told me, said, this guy is more than a pastor. He was a high-level intercessor. High-level in the ministry. And when I heard him, I said, oh no. This man, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's killing himself. He was insulting. Look, and he has a way of speaking. I couldn't believe that. This is a top intercessor. And probably a minister of God. But he has gone this way. Again, politics. People, listen, somebody who is good at politics is likely to be good at ministry. And somebody who is good at politics is likely to be good at business. I don't know, but politics and ministry, because it's all about talking. So you find there are many people who are into politics who should have been in ministry. And sometimes they have this crossover. You don't even know. Do you have it in South Africa? Crossover pastors. You even wonder what they are up to. Save yourself. Save yourself. And many people that have to be saved will not be saved just because you wouldn't give yourself. He says, I will require your blood at their hands. Listen to me. Look at me. Sit up. Sit up. Sit up. This section. You know yourself. Sit up here. Everybody sit up, look at me. This story is about Assemblies of God, Pastor. It's an Assemblies of God, Pastor. I think he was holding a convention in somebody's church. And he said, not his church, he was invited. When he finished preaching, it was Sunday evening or so. When he walked into his hotel room, who was there? Jesus. He was shocked. And Jesus said, come here, come here. The guy was terrified. Come. Assemblies of God, Pastor. Come here, come. And the Lord took him down to hell. He said when he went down, he took him on a tour of hell. He described it. This is a story I heard Kenneth Hagin telling. Kenneth Hagin said, I don't need that description. He said, I've been there. I know what the hell that. I can tell you what is there. People wailing, crying, gnashing their teeth. Different section, huge. Many people. Finally, this Assemblies of God pastor came to meet someone. Do you know who he met there? When he was in university, his roommate, his best friend. What happened was that when he was in university, both of them, he had backslidden. The Assemblies of God pastor had backslidden. And the other guy, I think, was also a bad boy. So they were together doing the bad thing. But he got converted again and went to Bible school, Assemblies Bible school, and became a pastor. So the Lord took him around. When he got to his roommate, he saw his roommate. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? The guy said, remember it was Sunday. Remember I told you we were having a convention. The guy told him, I died on Friday. He said, I had an accident on Friday. An automobile accident. That's what they say in America. An automobile accident. I died on Friday. And I came here. The guy was shaking. And the Lord just said, I just wanted you to see. Then he took him back to the room, hotel room. You see, pastors don't preach about salvation. Pastors don't know what is salvation. They don't stop preaching about it. So that's why the Lord took him there so that he would see. We preach all kind of magic but no salvation. And the reason for our ministry is so that you save people. When he came back to his room. No, I've not finished my story. When he came back to his room, he wanted to call his mother. Because his mother knew him and his roommate very well. But it was so late. So he decided to call his mother on Monday morning. So on Monday, he picked the phone and called his mom. He said, Ma, how are you? Blah, 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 talking. Then before he could ask, he said, you know the news that I heard? I said, what is it? So Friday, your roommate, this whatever, there was a terrible accident, he died. The guy was even more frightened. Because after that experience, he wondered, did I have a dream? What was it? And not knowing that God, he was more shaken when his mother spoke to him. But he had been there on Sunday night. And it's amazing. The guy knew that he was in an accident and that he had died in an accident. Hey. You know, sometimes we think that when you die, you sort of just become powder and you don't really exist and you don't think about anything. People are real and they are alive. And they are in places. This is the purpose of ministry. Salvation of souls. That's why God saved us and sent us. Others have worked, now we must work. It's time for us to do what we have to do to find others and lead others to God. And that is why I tell you there are people who don't give their life. If Bishop Moses had not given his life, where is he? If he had not given his life, and I had also not given my life, and that's two churches. And a lot of ramifications. If you are here today and God has called you to work for him, go to Bible school, serve him, give yourself holy, stop fooling around. Stop fooling around and give yourself holy. It will save you, yourself, and it will save a lot of people. That is the purpose of full-time ministry. Give thyself holy. Yes, to save people. KB, do you understand? People will be saved through you. And they will go to hell if you don't do what you're supposed to do. Believe it.
Believe it. People are going to go to hell. There's a guy, you know, I was preaching and he came to me. He said, Bishop, I had a terrible dream. I said, what dream? What dream? He said, in the dream, I died. I went to heaven. When I got to heaven, I was happy to be there. Then suddenly, I was surrounded by a mob. Come, KB, come. I was surrounded by a mob. Stand here. And the mob, where's the mob? They came to challenge. Why didn't you do the work? They were all challenging. Why didn't you preach? Why did you? And they attacked him and he was begging them, leave me. And he was trying to explain why he didn't go into the ministry. He told me at a camp, he said, this is a dream I had. They were challenging him. Do you know the people that have gone to hell?
Why did you
preach? We should leave you
alone.
Why didn't you preach? Do you know souls are dying because of you? You know souls have died because of you. You know, you are smiling. Stop smiling. Stop smiling. Stop smiling. You are doing waste management.
Yes, he was doing a course, PhD in waste management.
You are doing waste management.
Because 10,000 people are in hell because of you.
Look at you. Do you know the number of people who would have gone to heaven if you have spoken? Stop smiling.
I remember you.
Mercy
you
on me. Mercy on me.
Were you not called? Were you not called?
I was called.
But why?
So why didn't you preach? Why didn't you give your life holy?
Waste management. Waste management. That is toilet disposal. This is what he was. He was giving himself to waste management. Hey! Instead of ministry. Let me pray for him so that it doesn't happen. Father, we cancel this vision in the name of Jesus. He will be your wonderful servant. He will be your wonderful servant. He is your wonderful servant. In Jesus' name. You'll be a darling boy for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peace. In doing this, read it, please. 1 Timothy 4:16. In take heed to thyself unto the doctrine, and thou shalt save thyself. And them that hear thee, a lot of people who hear thee will be saved by your ministry. Is it not scary? Start from verse 15, you see. Meditate on these things. Give thyself holy, that thy property may appear to all. The next verse. Take it to yourself, answer the doctrine. In doing what? In giving thyself holy and in meditating on these things and so on, you will save both yourself and them that hear you. Look at the verse very carefully. I want you to understand. Learn the verse, not what I'm saying. Learn what the verse is saying. Meditate on these things, give yourself holy to them, which means what is coming after is explaining that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed to thyself, unto thy doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you'll save yourself and a whole lot of people that are hearing you. A whole lot of people that are hearing you. And amazingly, you save yourself too. Yourself is saved. You just don't know where you'd have been. Yes. Now, one wonderful, mysterious purpose is that where they continue in them. You see, the continuation of lay ministry is full-time ministry. Without full-time ministry, sometimes you cannot continue in what you believe. You get to a point, realize that you've reached the maximum. Like you want to assist Bishop Mosa, but after a point you realize that I can only help him to this one. After I have to go back to the bank, I have to go here, I have to do this. But at a point you realize that to continue, you need to do full time. Yes, it's the only way.
Are you listening to me? Give thyself wholly. Huh? Give your intelligence, give your love, give your heart, give your soul, give your money, give your mind, give your family, give your relatives, give your opportunities, give your connections, give your, what are you? Give your passport, give your nationality, give your anything, just throw it in. Your profiting will appear. People will see. In Jesus' name. And in doing this, you save yourself. And in doing this, you save a whole lot of people that are going to hear you. I love the ministry. To me, it's a wonderful thing. How many think that it's a great privilege? It's a wonderful privilege to serve the Lord. Stand to your feet, everybody, for a moment. Wow. Now just lift your hands up. No, there are some people here. God is calling you to the ministry and you want to say yes. Please don't walk out on me. Don't walk out on me, please. I'm closing. Don't walk out on me. Don't do that, please. Now, some people here, God has called you. You want to even be in full time. Some of you want to even come to Bible school, take the invitation. Seriously, come to the front if you are in that group. God has called you full time. You want to even come maybe to Bible school, whatever. Come to the front quickly, quickly. It's just a prayer, but I want you to come. I don't want to talk much. Lift your hands. Jesus, fill every heart. Fill every heart. Today, we say yes to your call. Give thyself wholly. We say yes to your will. With speed, with strength, with all seriousness, Lord, look at every hand that is lifted now. Every heart that is lifted to you. Every mouth that is saying yes. Look, Lord. Send your angel to each one of these that is appointed unto your great work. Raise them up and use them, Lord. With speed, let them serve you. With strength.
with wisdom, with understanding, with skill. My God. Please, I hear the Spirit saying, how many people are going to die and go to hell because you didn't say yes? How many are going to lose their salvation and lose their way because you wouldn't? How many are going to descend into hell forever because you couldn't give your life to love Him? And seven, it was too much to ask of you. Pastors who have imprisoned your members and not released them to work for God because he wanted businessmen and he didn't want more ministry. How many will die and go to hell? How many really will go to hell? How many really will be saved? Jesus, we lift our hands and our hearts, especially our hearts, which only you can see. We give our hearts to you, Lord. Jesus, thank you. Thanks a million for the mysterious purposes of full-time ministry. Let it be accomplished. Let it be accomplished. Let everyone here be marked by an angel and let them find their way along the road until they get there bearing fruits. Many will be saved through their wonderful lives and ministries. I give you thanks and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now don't move an inch. Not everybody can respond to what I'm going to say, but I'm going to do it because it keeps coming in my spirit. I want to invite all of you who have come to the front to come to Bible school in Ghana for either 3 years, 4 years, or 1.5 years, whatever the time, whatever it takes. Because there are different things to do and exams and whatever. But I want to give you that opportunity. I don't know when I'll never be around again to be inviting you to come. But I'm inviting you whilst I'm here. And I don't know when you will never get the chance again. Not everybody here can. Depend on your church, your pastor, and so many things. It all depends on that. But I'm making you that strong, clear invitation. And this is the vice chancellor of the school. He's actually a bishop also. He has a whole lot of churches, more than 100 churches under him. But he is here also, happens to be here. It just happens. I didn't know he was even coming. But after church, if you really want to seriously do that, you just come to see him. He's going to be right here on the stage on the left here. His name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Amen. Look, I want to give this testimony because it's testimonies. He says, thy testimonies are my counselors. Thy testimonies are my counselors. They are my counselors. Now listen. Ida Hostels Bible School, all the main churches today, even me, I didn't go to the school, but I am linked to the product of his school, which is Archbishop Duncan Williams. So, he made a statement. He said 70% of all pastors in Africa are either his products or products of his products. I was with him when he made that statement. Yes. So, I'm making you this offer. After we close, be serious.
Put on, yeah, you see, thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. A testimony of something that has happened is like advising you. Sometimes you are looking for advice, counsel. So that's why we take testimonies. Because testimonies are like advice. You see what this, what happened to this person and it worked for him is the same thing that's going to work for you. That's why we say the testimonies are your counselors. Like it's advising you. Yes. What a blessing. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. That's why I preach with stories. The stories are your counselors. What I tell you, a testimony is not just a story, but a testimony or the story of what has happened is like it's also trying to advise you. When I tell you the picture of these people were in full-time ministry and only five are alive, is counsel to you, is advice to you. Yes. When I tell you the testimony of the story of the man who went to hell and saw his roommate, is advice to you, is counsel. It's not just long preaching, it's counsel. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. Receive counsel. Receive counsel. Receive counsel. In Jesus' name. When we close, Bishop Intefel Emmanuel is going to be right here. And whatever you need to do with your church, it doesn't. If your pastor says no, then that's it. But you just come. It's an offer. And I know many here are going to be in the ministry. Many are called, but few are chosen. You'll be among the few. You will be among the few. In Jesus' name. And we are not training for our church. We are training for where you are from. Yes. We never accept anyone orangu to come to the school and orangu lies and turn against your church. No. Never. We don't even want one person like that. Yes. Where you come from is where you come from. And that is, you go back there to be a blessing. Amen. Is it a blessing? Are you glad you came? Yes. Go back to your seats. Thank you.
I really do want you, yes, Lord. I really do need you. I hear you.
Take your seats, please.
Whispering in my ear. I feel you tugging at my heart and knocking on my door. Yes, Lord. I really do want you now. Whoa, whoa, yes, Lord. I really do want you, yes, Lord. I really do need you. I hear you whispering in my ear. I feel you tugging at my heart and knocking on my door. Say yes, Lord. I really do. Serve the Lord. Say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Do you want to follow?
Do you want to follow Him? Say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And do you want to love the Lord in everything you do? Do you want to love Him with all your heart? Just say yes, Lord.
Can I hear you? I want to do, Lord.
Yes, Lord. I really do want you. Yes, Lord. I really do need you. I hear you whispering in my ear. I feel you tugging at my heart and knocking on my door. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord. I really do want you.
Hallelujah. Now, take out your offering. We are closing. Last offering for today. Somebody said, but we go to church on Sunday, we give one offering, but we are here all day, isn't it? This is like about 50 Sunday services. Is it not true? So there's nothing strange if you take three offerings. After having about 50 And your envelopes, if you have your envelopes, you can bring it now. Plus your offering. Take out your offering, let me pray over it. Ashes are going to come round to receive the offering. But if you have your envelope, don't put it in the basket. Come to the front and put it here. Lift up and let's pray. Look, everybody, give a good offering. How many want iron sharpeneth iron, or give thyself wholly to continue? It shouldn't continue. All those at the back don't want it to continue. You want it to continue? Okay. So lift up your offering. Give thyself wholly. Father, we thank you as we give our offerings to you. What a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.